Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Tony, where you been? Let's go!
Make me a bicycle, clown!
Welcome in. My name is Lawrence Holmes. Here with you until 10 o'clock tonight. We have a full boat show for you tonight. It's going to be a lot of football on tonight's show, along with a ton of baseball chatter. Just found out that Zach Zaidman is going to join the show at 8 o'clock. We will talk Cubs and National League and perhaps trade deadline and all sorts of stuff with him. Anthony Herron, one of our experts here at The Score, one of the fine hosts here at The Score, is going to join me at 7. I'm sure that we're going to talk all sorts of sexy football. And then later on in the show, like I was saying during transition with McNeil and Parkins, I ran across I am a football geek. Having covered the league, like I really love to know the nuts and bolts of stuff and learn stuff, and I'm still learning year after year, and having the chance to work with some of the guys that played and coached in this league is really tremendous for me. There was a piece today about the evolution of the RPO that I think you should read, and we're going to get into a little bit later on, and then I found there was a corresponding video to it, and it's so sexy. So sexy. So there will be sexy football later on in the show. Not that there's not sexy football now, because sexy just walked in the door. That's because our Bears beat reporter, Mark Grody, with his one day off from Bourbonnais, was nice enough to drive his ass back downtown and hang out with me to talk Bears football. Hello, Groats.
What's going on, Lawrence? Yeah, I feel like this is like almost like a baseball day off. Like I had to get all my stuff done. I got back from Bourbonnais.
Laundry.
Exactly. I got a haircut.
Grocery shopping.
The grocery shopping. Clean up the place. I got a cat. I had to tend to the cat. Dave the cat. Yes, I have a cat.
Named Dave?
Davey. Yes.
Okay. Davey.
So, yeah. So, I really like the scenario that I'm living in right now. 46 years old, single, and I have a cat. How attractive is that?
You seem like a man that needs to be scooped up immediately.
Oh, yeah. Put it out there. Yeah,
by some lucky woman.
Oh, my goodness. I got to get on Match.com because that's a profile, boy. Whew. Me with my cat. No, because I had a girlfriend, and we had kind of adopted the cat together, you know? And I remember even saying to her, you know, what's going to happen when I'm traveling, whether it was, I think maybe even at that time, I was still doing the baseball. And she was like, oh, I'll come over, I'll take care of it, and blah, 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 blah. And then ultimately we broke up, so here I am now.
So now you're a single cat dad.
Middle-aged man with a cat.
Single cat dad, Mark Grody here. You know, I know some nice ladies if you would like for me. I know some nice single ladies.
Okay.
One that has already even shown interest in you.
Really? Mm-hmm. Must like cats. That's all.
Okay. Yeah. I'll see where I'll test it, take the temperature and see what's going on. But
right.
There was one in particular that was like, hey, is that guy single? And
really?
I was like, at the time, no, he is not single, but I will keep you updated.
Okay. So I appreciate that, Lawrence.
The last time I did this,
yeah,
didn't turn out great.
With whom?
Ron G.
What were you thinking?
Yeah. All right, I'll think about it. We'll see what happens.
It's probably not a great idea with me either, to be honest, but I do appreciate the thought.
It's all good. Yeah. You're a good man and thorough. So here's what I'd like to do. I want to talk with you about Bears training camp. Herbie, we haven't discussed this in the show. Here's my question. And Grody, you don't get to vote on this.
Okay.
This is a show question, and maybe we'll throw it out to the listener too. Should we allow for people to call Mark Grody to talk about Bears training camp. Is this one of those things where it should just be me and him and we should just talk football? Or should we allow people to call in to talk about the Bears with Grody? Herbie?
Callers haven't acquitted themselves correctly the last couple weeks.
That sounds like a no.
Years.
Tony?
Ever.
I'm not a fan of callers.
That's a general blanket statement, Tony.
Well, see, here's
the
thing.
I love the listeners.
The listener hates the caller, too. That's the weird part about this. So I'll leave it to, we know where the staff stands on this. I am 50-50 on it. I think that there could be a good call here or there and maybe some insight that I don't have on something that they could ask. I'll leave it to the texters. Should we take calls for Grody? 670-11. Wow, someone already is like, no calls. The first three text messages, no calls. Wow. Wow.
No calls.
Okay.
It's coming fast and furious.
Well, we'll see if it evens out. If it evens out at some point. And we'll just talk about all sorts of stuff. So, Groats,
yes.
Here's my issue. I've been trying to make the case for why training camp matters. Like, it's been an existential crisis. Not that training camp doesn't matter for the guys. It matters for them, for sure.
Yeah.
But I mean for us. Like, is there anything that's really interesting? So that's why I wanted to invite you in so you can empty the notebook.
Yeah.
And you tell me, from you being down there since training camp started last week, what's been interesting?
I'll say this right away. I realize this is the easy way to go, but it's true. Mitchell Trubisky has been incredibly interesting. Here's why.
I am shocked by that.
Are you being serious or sarcastic?
Yes, I am shocked by that.
Okay, here's why. Because of the command, first of all, that he seems to have with his teammates. I obviously wasn't around them last year, but I watched enough, read enough, and paid attention enough to know.
You've talked to enough people by now.
Yeah, and it was a strange year for him. I mean, obviously taking over in week five when he probably wasn't planned. The rough draft was probably to have him come in garbage time in like week 13. So I don't think he knew what he was doing last year in a lot of regards, especially that in the important leadership role and getting guys in their places. I'm seeing him do all that and have total and complete command. So there's that part. And I get it. That's kind of a peripheral thing and maybe doesn't mean a lot to people. But here's on the field. One of the things that the head coach, the new head coach, Matt Nagy, has said, he said this almost every day at some point in time. I don't care if these guys make mistakes right now. We are not going to yell at them. We almost want them to make mistakes because we want to find out what they're good at, what they're bad at. So he's given all sorts of different things to Mitchell Trubisky. And he's looked good doing it. He's thrown some picks, yeah. And that's the part where I think that Mitchell Trubisky is trusting his head coach, saying, okay, if you're cool with this, I'm going to take some risks here. I'm going to do some stuff. His arm looks strong. His deep ball is good. The intermediate routes have been fine as well. So I have found him to be incredibly interesting, just watching him play and the sort of ease and the looseness with which he is playing. And I think it's because of his head coach enabling him. The mistakes are going to have to stop eventually, and he has thrown some interceptions. But right now, he's following the marching orders. That is, just play free. Be free out there. Make mistakes now so we don't have to worry about it come September 9th when the Bears are in Green Bay.
What a strange turn that is for Trubisky, because it seemed as if last year they were telling him, don't make any mistakes.
Yes.
No matter what you do, don't make any mistakes. Play clean. We're not even going to let you throw the ball sometimes. Just go out there and please don't make mistakes.
Lawrence, he had a 4-for-7 game last year. It was a Carolina game. He was 4-for-7. He had an 8-for-16 game against Baltimore. And I feel like even thinking about the final game of the season, which was at Minnesota last year, I feel like Mitchell Trubisky said, screw it. And he didn't have a great game, but he had a high volume of throws. He was flinging the ball down the field, wasn't necessarily connecting, but he was like, to hell with it. Like, let's go. Let's do this. And probably knowing that Dal Loggins and John Fox were not going to be back next year, that probably played a part in it. But yeah, you're right. I didn't even think about it from that angle, that this is the antithesis of what this guy, and I understand to some degree. I mean, you bring in a guy in week five that wasn't supposed to to start in the NFL, maybe all year, possibly all year because of the lack of experience at North Carolina. But they were ridiculous with him in terms of the way they coddled him and didn't let him do things. And Nagy's like, let's open it all up right now in training camp. Let's see what you're good at. Let's see what you're bad at. Let's find out your strengths, your weaknesses, and let's accentuate, you know, what's good, and then either work on what's bad or throw it out.
It's funny that you mentioned that particular part being interesting to you, Groats, because it was interesting to me. So interesting that I pulled the cut of Nagy talking about this with Mully and Hanley. Take a listen.
For me, the one benefit I have is that's the one position that I played all my life. So I know what's going through his head really at all times, and how he is, where he's at mentally, being able to understand this playbook. How does he transfer it to the practice field? When he has a bad play, how does he react the next time? What type of coaching are we giving him, for instance, after a bad play? Or what type of coaching are we giving him after a touchdown pass? And so he's a very mature kid for where he's at, being his second year here coming into this thing. He's become much more of a leader of this team vocally, both in the classroom and on the field. And so that's a positive for us. So we just want to continue to build. I do not want Mitch to be concerned with making mistakes right now. I could care less. I want him to test the waters, see where he's at, so that when it does matter in the games, he has an understanding of the things he can get away with and the things that he can't get away with.
So what are the concerns then? If they're not concerned about Mitch making mistakes, or I would guess him making initial mistakes, maybe not the same mistake multiple times. Yeah. I think that would probably bother them. But what things are they concerned with when it comes to the maturation of a quarterback?
I think one of the big things, that we can go back to this last year, was the number was he was sacked 31 times in 12 games. And if you remember, and I'm sure you do, that a lot of those sacks were on Mitch, that it wasn't the offensive line. Yeah, there were some breakdowns. But Mitch, I think one of the things that he has to get better at is feeling the pressure and trusting his offensive line. One of the things that I've seen him doing in practice more, and I'm sure there's a certain design to it because they're not hitting right now, so you can't really know pressure. But he's throwing the ball to the sideline. And it's almost like a designed moment, like get used to doing that. You know what I mean? Like you don't have to sometimes you take a sack if it's a 2 or 3 yard loss, but you don't need to take a sack if it's a 10 or 15 yard loss. So knowing when to throw the ball away, knowing when to let loose because he's got speed, but really feeling comfortable in the pocket and feeling the pressure. I think if you wanted to nitpick or look at one area that an area that he probably needed to improve upon from last year.
Has Mitch talked yet? I know he's part of the reason I'm going on Friday is I know he's scheduled to talk.
Yes,
on Friday. Has he said anything like at the opening of camp?
Yeah, he did. And to me, the most interesting thing that he said was he got kind of number one. He got off of social media, or I don't think he killed his accounts necessarily, but he's sort of muted himself because he's kind of tired of. You know how it is. You can see 1,000 compliments, and most people have been complimentary of Mitch Trubisky, I think, for the most part.
Absolutely.
Bears fans love
Bears fans are excited about
Mitch.
Oh,
of course.
I've seen on social media, they are.
Absolutely, they have been. But you know how it is. You could have 100 great things said about you, but it's the 10 nasty things that you dwell on. And I think that maybe that's what it is for Mitchell Trubisky. And so he said, I don't want to hear about it anymore. But one of the things that he said is that he's kind of sick of everything. He's sick of the comparisons to the Kansas City offense, to the Philadelphia offense. And we're all doing that. We've all connected those dots.
Well, I'll be doing a lot of that later on.
It's understandable because Matt Nagy is going to run a lot of that kind of stuff. I mean,
the Chiefs ran a ton of it with Alex Smith. Well, right, why wouldn't we look at what he was doing in Kansas City and go, that's what they're going to ask Mitch to do?
You use the word RPO. I mean, I know that I heard you talking in crosstalk with the fellas. The fellas. I heard you talking about, you know, the RPO, and that's a hugely important part of what the Bears are going to do, and they're going to ask Mitchell Trubisky to do. But Trubisky, to his credit, I think, sort of said, look, I'm sick of hearing about, you know, either, I think he's sick of the good and the bad. Like, he's sick of being praised already when having really done nothing in the NFL. you know, other than, you know, playing 12 games and his for whatever it's worth, he was 4-8, but that has, you know, probably a lot more to do with the coaching and the position that he was put in. You know, he wants to get out there and stop being asked about how good he's going to be or the negative stuff where some people still say, you know, he's, you know, the 25th ranked quarterback in the league and he's going to be a bust and all that kind of stuff. He just wants to get out there and do it. And he's going to have to deal with this. Obviously he is the quarterback. He is undoubtedly the face of this franchise.
Absolutely.
More than ever, the quarterback is. I mean, in the past, you know, when you had, you know, the Lovie Smith Bears, I mean, as long as Urlacher and Briggs and those guys were along, I mean, of course, Jay Cutler probably still was the face.
I mean, recently, maybe the face of the Bears has been Kyle Long,
yes,
a guard.
Right. And God bless Kyle Long, but it is clearly Mitchell Trubisky. Incidentally, Kyle Long followed suit and decided to mute his social media.
Oh, man,
as well.
That's too bad.
I know.
Kyle's a good follow.
Right. He's great. And I'm sure he'll get back on eventually.
That's too bad.
But,
oh,
yeah.
Mitchell Trubisky tomorrow is on Inside.
That's right.
On All Access
he
tomorrow.
Is. He's on. Yes, that's right. Joniak and Thayer will have him on Bears All Access.
So you can listen to that tomorrow at 6 right here after the McNeil and Parkins show. So, Groats, and it's Mark Grody. He's here. He covers the Bears for us. He's been down in Bourbonnais. The Texters have made their vote count. They have said no calls. Tony, you could just X out the lines, honestly, because the Texters have spoken and they have
overwhelmingly
said, yeah, it is probably about 95% of don't want to hear any calls for Grody.
Is that one of the most satisfying things for a producer to X out the phone lines? I mean, from a producer's perspective,
yeah,
I imagine
great.
That's a beautiful, beautiful thing. I mean, if for nothing else, it's less work.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, the amount of calls that are good are so few and far in between that it doesn't make it worth it at all.
Listen, jaded 25-year-old.
Yeah.
How old is he?
Tony's 25, and he's already
this weathered radio guy.
And I'm only like 2 years into this, so
that is awful.
You're not going to last if you keep up that attitude, mister.
Or maybe he becomes the biggest star ever.
That. I could see it too.
I mean, that could definitely, it's worked for others. Bad takes and bitterness has worked for others and gotten them to the top of the food chain in our business. Yeah, I see the sky point, Tony. All right. We spend so much time talking about Trubisky.
Yes.
Let's talk about the people that are going to help him. How's Allen Robinson?
Allen Robinson has been good. They've kind of limited his work in Bourbonnais. There's been a couple of just complete rest days for him. When he is out there, they're not putting him in as much as maybe the other guys. It's just all in the name of why go hard right now with the extra week, with the extra game. We pretty much know what this guy can do. When he's been out there, he's been good. You know, he's probably gotten the biggest ovations for whatever that's worth from the fans of Bourbonnais when he catches a ball wherever it is. So he's looked good. He's looked crisp running his routes. He looks solid with his catches. And you know, he's going to be a guy who's going to catch the ball over the field. He's going to be a deep threat. And I think, you know, a legitimate number one wide receiver, if they get the guy that in 2015 had 1400 yards.
I would imagine that there's equal amounts of excitement from the crowd that is there in Bourbonnais whenever Tariq Cohen touches the football.
There's a few guys. Yeah. Tariq Cohen for sure is one of them. Believe it or not, Kevin White is getting huge. Like, fans are very much behind Kevin White still. And there's people probably listening right now that are rolling their eyes, and we'll probably get some text messages to indicate that as well. But Kevin White has probably been targeted more than any other receiver so far. I mean, we haven't been down there that long. He's looked good. The speed has been good. He's had separation. And when he makes plays that the fans in Bourbonnais, who are very serious, by the way, very serious fans, have really supported him. And you know, and I'm sure if I was really sitting close to the fans, you'd hear, well, you know, he's gonna get injured again, it's gonna be his ankle or his calf or his shoulder. But I feel like he has been very supported by the fans in Bourbonnais, and I think they want to see him succeed.
Outside of Mitch, what's the thing that you're most paying attention to?
I think the other thing is, other than the offense, I would say the outside linebacker spot. And again, it's hard to get a gauge there when they have not done like real hitting yet. Defense is tough. Like, I'm just learning this stuff too, that it's really hard to evaluate defense until they put the pads on. You could evaluate the secondary a little bit, because then you see some real coverage happening. But as far as the linebackers and the linemen, it's hard to do. So here's what I'm specifically interested in. I mean, I think you have Leonard Floyd, who is coming off the right knee injury, played in 10 games last year, 4.5 sacks, 11.5 sacks over the last 2 years. You want to see that guy healthy and have a double-digit sack year. So I'm keeping a close eye on him. Sam Acho right now is the other outside linebacker. But there's some other guys, too, with Aaron Lynch, who has been out and injured. I'm very curious to see what he might be capable of. Another guy, too, is you're starting to hear about this guy, is Kylie Fitz, rookie sixth-rounder out of Utah, who, like, from the OTAs, like, you see his speed and his first step.
Everyone that I talk to about Kylie Fitz says if he's healthy, the Bears got a steal.
Right, sixth round. And the reason he was a sixth-rounder is because he was injured a lot in college. He had shoulder and ankle issues. He had a foot injury a couple of years ago. But since rookie camp and the OTAs and the all-play minicamp, he's been 100% healthy, and he has looked good, and he stood out then. He's standing out now, and he's even been – he's the guy. Matt Nagy even was talking to us about him yesterday and said that he has stood out and that he's been almost too aggressive, like in terms of when he gets to the quarterback, he puts a little hit on, and he's like, no, you can't do that. I appreciate your enthusiasm, but it's got to stop. So, he could be a steal. So he is one to watch for sure.
How did the Bears talk about this extra week of camp and the extra game they have to play? Are they looking at it as a chore or an opportunity?
I think the veteran players, especially on defense, don't like it. I mean, why would you? I mean, if you know what you're doing already, especially on that defense, which, if you know what you're doing on defense, and you know the Vic Fangio system and you're not a young player in it, you probably don't need the extra week. And I'll be honest, like, probably other than the rookies, I mean, why would any of these guys really like or embrace or want an extra week? But on the other side, there's the fact that you have a huge advantage now. You're putting in a new offense, which, might take a couple of years to perfect. And any extra day, any extra minute is probably good for the offense, for those players, for Allen Robinson, like we said, and Trey Burton, Taylor Gabriel, Anthony Miller, obviously Mitchell Trubisky. So I think for them, I mean, of course, it's hugely beneficial.
I'm going to ask this question, but I need to give it a caveat first, okay? I am not worried about Roquan Smith. And the reason that I'm not worried about Roquan Smith is because this is what happens every year, and we're all a week too early anyway because the Bears are playing in the Hall of Fame game. That being said, Josh Allen, the guy drafted before him, is signed. Mike McGlinchey, the guy that was drafted after him, is signed. It would seem as if we are in a nice window now for Roquan Smith to sign.
Well, and that's why I wouldn't be shocked if it did happen in the next 24 or 48 hours, that maybe we get a little treat tomorrow when we all reassemble in Bourbonnais, or maybe by the weekend. I haven't been worried either, and maybe I should be.
There's no reason to worry.
Yeah, of course, like, from a team perspective, their attitude is, yeah, it'd be really nice to have this guy here. Because
especially with the extra week, like, for rookies, the extra week is great. It's right. A great benefit of them getting the coaching, being in the film room, being with their teammates. But considering that the regular schedule would be 4 weeks, if Roquan is there at the end of next week,
yes,
there's really no issue, because the third preseason game now becomes the fourth preseason game, is when you're kind of looking at how the team is going to look. That's plenty of time for him to get ready and get himself onto the field.
Right, and he's not, at least the rough draft, he's not a project. You know what I mean? Like, this is, and I get it that he's been built up, but he does appear to be a guy, from anybody that you talk to, scouts, watching his tape at Georgia, he does look like an NFL-ready type of player. With the speed that he has sideline to sideline, with his ability to make open field tackles, he had 85 solo tackles last. And to me, that's one of the big stats, I think, is there's an art to that, making that open field tackle to ward off a move from a quick wide receiver or running back. He was really good at that, you know. So, of course, there's going to be learning, and he's not going to come in and dominate necessarily, but I think that he's the right guy to be a little bit behind, if you even want to consider that. If he gets in the next 24, 48 hours, I don't think this is a big deal at all.
Okay, good. Is there anything else that we need to know? The requisite nuggets and tidbits.
Yes. I think that there's some interesting wide receivers beyond the guys that we all know.
Do tell.
Yeah, that are out there that might... And I'm not saying these guys are going to make the team, but if they do, there could be some impact. Benny Fowler, number 13 on your score sheet, I think is an interesting guy. He played at Michigan State, for reference. He played with Denver last year. He had his best year with Denver last year. He wasn't overwhelming. He had like 350 yards, but he caught a couple of touchdown passes on Monday Night Football in the opener. One of his other claims to fame is in 2016, caught a two-point conversion from Peyton Manning in the Super Bowl. So he's an interesting guy. Marlon Brown. I don't know if you know this name or not. Marlon Brown, a guy who played for Baltimore in 2013, had some really good numbers for a couple of years with Baltimore, and then started to go down a little bit because of a back injury. But he's huge. He's 6'5". He's got some speed, a big target. So I find him sort of intriguing.
Don't be giving me your this year's Devin Aroma Shadu. Don't be out here trying to sell me on this year's version of Devin Aroma Shadu.
Come on. That's what Bourbon A is all about. That's why Bourbon A. That's why Bourbon A. Tanner Gentry. That's why Bourbon A.
That's right. Ken Mastroli. Let's just bring them all out.
Oh, my. John Bostic. Well, Bostic actually had some value. But I love John Bostic. I did. Number 57.
He's still playing, right? He had a decent season with the Colts, I want to say, last year.
Okay.
Maybe John Bostic
is a
Colt.
Jonathan Bostic. I didn't.
Kirby, check that for me, please. I feel like Jonathan Bostic is a Colt.
Do a little where are they now.
Yeah, he started 14 games for the Colts last year.
How many tackles were Jonathan Bostic last year?
57.
It's not great. It's not great. How many tackles for loss? Any? Did he break up any passes? No?
So then Jonathan Bostic
looking...
is...
So Jonathan Bostic is an NFL player.
He had one sack last year.
He's had a pretty good NFL life. Didn't John Bostic have like a knockout or like get suspended, I want to say, in the preseason or fined for knocking out a quarterback?
Yeah, it was like his second game or something in the preseason.
The best hit he ever had was the one he had at Florida versus Louisville, Teddy Bridgewater. He almost knocked him out.
Yeah, he was a hard hitter.
All right, well, let me amend my statement. Jonathan Bostic is an NFL linebacker, full stop.
And he's obviously making a good – I mean, so he's been in the league for 6-7 years now? That's pretty good.
March 19, 2008, he signed with the Pittsburgh Steelers.
He's with the Steelers now.
Yep.
See, so my statement is correct. Jonathan Bostic is an NFL linebacker. There.
So?
That's all we got,
right,
man.
That's Bourbon A for you, man.
That's as far as we can go.
Yeah.
Wasn't he a third-round pick?
Might have been a second. Yeah.
Was that guy a second-round pick?
Yeah, I think he might have been.
50th overall.
Oh, my God!
I'm so happy that I've been able to bring John Bostic back into our lives.
He's actually like a super nice guy, too.
I'm sure he is.
Or at least he was when he was with the Bears. I don't know what's happened to him since.
Bostic.
But yes, we can definitively say... The Jonathan Bostic, NFL linebacker.
And you know what? Here's another
thing. Full stop.
Here's another thing, Lawrence. He'll always be a Bear.
No.
Okay.
No. Okay. No, he won't. Groats, thanks so much, man, for coming in and hanging out with me.
Happy to do it, man. I got to get back to my cat, but we'll talk to you soon.
I'll keep you in. You know, I'll do a poll and see what the ladies are thinking, and maybe there's someone who wants to be with the single cat dad.
Yeah, single cat dad. You know what? I got to go put some pictures up on Instagram of my cat. So, you know.
You and Jay Cutler. This segment being brought to you by Credit Karma. Get your truly free credit score and free credit monitoring from Credit Karma. Download the Credit Karma app today. Credit Karma, get knowing. Back after this on The Score. Big thanks to Mark Grody, who stopped in and talked Bears with us. I'm looking forward to seeing him down in Bourbonnais. If you're going to be out in Bourbonnais Friday for the practice, I'll be out there. Say hello. It's always nice to talk with Score listeners out there. It'll be fun. Going to catch a practice, maybe hook up with my colleague over at NBC Sports Chicago, John Moon Mullen, and do one of the podcasts that we do. I'm looking forward to, it looks like I'm going to be back over there doing post-game shows. So that'll be fun to do some stuff with him. And it's always fun when I get the chance to like walk in between the ropes and people are like screaming out, hey, what do you think of blah, blah, blah? So feel free. You're not bothering me. There's not a lot to do at practice these days anyway. So you're not bothering me at all if you want to chat football or baseball or whatever else suits your fancy. I don't know if I mentioned this, but the crew tonight, Herb Lawrence, Tony Gill, they're the ones that kept the calls away. Some of the text messages that came in on not allowing people to call in were just great. 602 texter says, callers blow bleep. That's funny to me. This 847 texter says, if you take callers, can you bring back Boers and Bernstein, who you crap in shotgun to keep it on the rails? No, it's someone else's bit. 312 texter says, no idiot callers, if possible. Herbie does his best. Let me just tell you that Herbie doesn't, like Maddie used to do this. Like Maddie, when he was producing, admittedly would let terrible calls through because it enhanced the show. Like Dan and Terry were adept at turning a bad phone call into a great segment, is one of their superpowers as a team. I am not that adept at it. My producers are trying to give me the best calls that they are taking. Herbie screens hard. It's one of the reasons why I love him as EP of this show. He's asking follow-up questions. Like usually what happens, do you guys want to play a little behind the curtain here with radio?
Let's do it.
Okay. Usually what happens is that young producers are trying to just put calls on, especially in a situation where you have a solo host like myself. This happens a lot on the weekends. Okay, calls mean listeners, which is not necessarily, it's almost like the opposite, but whatever. So they're trying to just put calls on. So they're going through the perfunctory stuff. What's your name? Where are you calling from? What would you like to talk about? Okay. Then there's like a next level of producing, which is, well, what is it that you want to talk about specifically and why did you call? Then there's what Herbie does, where Herbie will pre-argue with someone. If he thinks that their point is not going to be interesting or I'm going to just move along from it, he will pre-argue so that the person can get their talking points together before I put them on the air.
And that's 100% true.
And if he feels like your call isn't up to snuff after his interrogation of you, he will not put you on the air.
Yeah, the thing I always say to some of these people who have opinions, I say that Lawrence is going to tear down that opinion quickly and hang up on you. So, you know, get that together. Or I'm going to yell at you. And then people get mad at me and then go on the air and say, well, Herb said this.
Or they go like, on Twitter. Like, that's where you get a lot of grief.
Tattling me.
Yeah. Like
I'm not supposed to be doing this.
Like they're going to trick off to me on you and think that I'm going to side with them over the guy that I chose to be the executive producer of the show.
You know, that's the funny part. When I'm doing it solo, I'm on the board and I'm, you know, answering calls. And then they do that on air. And then I, like, hang up on them immediately. And then Les is like, why'd you hang up? And it's like, well, I told him not to say that. And he did. So,
well, that's something
vindictive.
Now, that is the type of thing, though, that can derail a host, especially a solo host, where if you tell Herbie you want to talk about A, and then you get on the air and it's Z that you want to talk about, he's going to be furious because he knows that I'm looking at him sideways like, that's not what it says on the screen. No one told me that this guy wanted to talk about White Sox baseball, it said on the screen that he wanted to talk about run pass option in Mitch Trubisky.
And sometimes it goes a little too far. I forgot who was sitting in for you the other day. Oh, Spiegel and Eric Edholm. And so I kind of interrogated the guy like I usually do. And the guy's like, I want to play the piano for Matt Spiegel. And I was like, yeah, that won't work. Click. Hung up on him. And then I told that to Spiegel. He's like, oh, no, that was my guy. Blah, blah, blah. I wanted to speak to him. So.
Yeah, but speaking to the guy and a guy playing piano,
I guess
that's different.
That's the guy who
was
plays
it Hamp?
Plays the piano on the Hey Hey Holy Mackerel that they used on that show the whole time.
Oh, well.
So I didn't know that.
But still.
So, you know, a little too far on that one, but
I didn't think
it would work in that segment.
They were talking about
totally something different.
You kept the integrity of the time slot. I would fully endorse that what you just did. Fun fact, when I was doing the show with Dan Hampton, Hamp at Holmes, RIP, Hamp hurt his back. So he had surgery or something, and he couldn't do the show from the studio. He couldn't drive down from the burbs. So we set up a line at his house. Hamp is an accomplished musician. I know he's got the gnarled up fingers and everything, but he is an accomplished musician. So what he would do during breaks, he would play instruments. Sometimes he'd play the piano. Like, we hear him in the talk back. Sometimes he'd play the guitar. It was amazing. One of these days, I have to write a book. I have to do like Terry and write a book. But know that the I want to play the piano for someone has already happened a lot here at The Score. It has. We're going to take a break, and we're going to do some baseball. I heard something earlier today where it was one of those things where I was like, man, do I put Bruce on or do I just bring back what he said? Because there's something that speaks to a conversation that we had on the show yesterday, something that Herbie brought up yesterday that I think he gets some backup from Bruce Levine when it comes to the Cubs and their future. I will share that with you next. I look forward to what you think about it. My name is Lawrence Holmes. You're listening to The Score. Thank you for hanging out with us tonight. Lawrence Holmes here with you until 10. This segment being brought to you by Subway. Wrap your hands around Subway restaurant's savory rotisserie-style chicken Caesar signature wrap. Enjoy tender rotisserie-style chicken topped off with savory Caesar sauce fit for an emperor. Try one today at Subway, limited time only at participating restaurants. We had a conversation on the show yesterday where Herbie was talking about the idea of the window being closed or closing on the Cubs, that you make deals trying to win the World Series because there are some things that are going on with this team that might put you in a worse position to win a championship. I am not as extreme as Herbie on that particular idea. But this morning, I'm wandering around the house. I checked in on what was going on Mully and Hanley, see if I missed anything overnight. They were talking with Bruce Levine, and it was incredible baseball conversation. It actually speaks to a lot of the issues that Herbie brought up. So I had this debate, like, do I bring Bruce on because Bruce is our baseball expert? Usually that doesn't violate the unwritten rules of doing this where, you know, if you have a guest on and the guest is great, you know, my philosophy is that I play the guest back instead of putting the guest on. But when it comes to people who are already in-house, you can put them on as many times as you want because it helps promote them. Anywhoozle, I thought that I would just play this back because I wasn't certain that I could replicate the discussion. So I wanted to share this with you. It speaks to a lot of Herbie's points about the Cubs. This was Bruce Levine starting off talking about a lot of the injuries that the Cubs have suffered.
I wrote a whole story on 670thescore.com on the injuries, including Morrow, who is still, you know, 6 or 7 days into his DL stint and hasn't really improved at this point. So you have their top closer, their top run producer, and then the guy who is supposed to be your top pitcher along with Lester, not being able to be counted on at this point. And when I did ask Joe about possible off-season work on the shoulder Brian, he hesitated because he said he doesn't really know and that he'd have to find out if there is anything that they're looking at. So it's a mystery, you know, that the guy's on the DL for a long time. He comes back, he's still sore. So this is something obviously he's going to have to deal with the rest of the season if he can get through it. But if you watch the at-bats on Monday night, you saw a guy that couldn't swing the bat at all and is just doing it with grit and you know, desire, no ability to really swing the bat the way he wants to. So, you know, deals are probably going to have to be made. You know, Epstein and Hoyer are going to have to figure out, guys, whether or not only they're going to add somebody to the back end of the bullpen, but another starting pitcher and possibly a hitter as August turns into September.
So what would you advocate with him? Does Chris Bryant go back on the DL? Do you think just giving him a couple days off will do it? I mean, how, you know, what you just described there, Bruce, the idea that he can't swing, would seemingly indicate there's going to be a stay on the DL and maybe an extended one.
I would say so. And you know, I think some, you know, again, we don't know if a surgery is going to be required. You know, we might be going too far. But again, if you go back and listen to what Bryant said after the injury and coming off of the DL, he pretty much said, you know, this is something I'm going to have to deal with all year and try maintenance. So if the maintenance program doesn't work, you know, then you have to make a decision whether he's helping you or hurting you or helping or hurting himself, you know, going out there and do whatever they have to do. The point is they're missing a major run producer at this point. They have offensive players, but you just don't replace Chris Bryant just like that. And with Rizzo leading off, which Joe, again, hesitated to say whether it's going to continue or not, you know, you're missing production in the middle of the order from your two big bats. And that is a difficult situation. It's a quandary for Joe. And you're right, Brian, you had mentioned, you know, frustration. Same thing with you, Mike. Yeah, there's some frustration there right now for them with not getting through these innings with the starting pitchers, you know, four or five innings and out. It's a huge start today for John Lester, only threw three innings last time. Yeah, there is some concern and some consternation with the Chicago Cubs.
Yeah, only two quality starts in the last seven. And again, you keep thinking this week it's going to be better. You know, Hendricks is going to figure it out. He sounded as confused yesterday in the postgame as he has for a month, and he's talking about his frustration because he didn't think it would take this long. Now the question is, Zach Britton being traded to the Yankees, Brad Hand off the market, you're going down to the next tier of bullpen guys, and that doesn't even get you to the starting rotation. If you're going to piece it together, what bullpen guys make sense out there, and do the Cubs have the assets to start, you know, making some deals of significance here?
Well, obviously, Iglesias is the number one guy out there. Do you, as you said, Brian, do they have the desirable pieces from to give to Cincinnati going back for a guy like Iglesias, who you're going to have contract control for? They're going to ask the moon for him. I don't think Cincinnati will be afraid to trade in the division as long as they get enough guys back. But do the Cubs have the young players to satisfy them? Because he's number one out there. There's other names, you know, Soria with the White Sox. Brad Branch is another bullpen guy with the Orioles. You know,
how about Adam Conley or Kirby
Yates?
Yeah,
and you know, you're going to have the Toronto guys coming in. The White Sox are playing them. They have some bullpen pieces that fit. But, you know, put your, you know, guys, give me your priority. Is it a bullpen piece at the end? Is it another starting pitcher, not knowing the situation here with Darvish and the lack of innings here, or are you going to have to worry about another run producer? There's a lot of things to try to address here.
Well, let's address Darvish, because 16 pitches, you know, Brian said it earlier, that's now portrayed as a positive. How is that a positive? How is a guy coming out and throwing 16 pitches
to get to 116, as you said, Molly, right?
Yes. How is that supposed to make you feel like, oh, well, you know what? You don't need to make a move here at the trade deadline. No. It's next to nothing, right, Bruce?
It is, but you know, for them, it's a start because he hadn't been on a mound for 3 weeks. You know, since he came off of that mound in South Bend, looked great, declared himself iffy, went and got a shot 2 days later from his doctor in Texas, and hasn't been on a mound since. So, to them, it's hey, the guy's throwing the ball, he's getting on the mound, he's showing us that he's willing to pitch. And But you're right about the other part. That's the most significant thing. You got to be able to build up 75 pitches a couple times. We're talking 3 or 4 weeks until that can happen. I mean, he's got to throw a bullpen. That would be, what, 2 or 3 days from now? That would be the beginning, and we're talking about very close to August 1st here. It's going to, you know, if you see the guy and he progresses, the very best you could project is at the very end of August or early September that he'd be on a mound trying to help you out.
Well, and Len Casper volunteered us yesterday that that's assuming no hiccups, not so much as a twinge in the muscle, because if you have that, the next step likely is to shut him down yet again. And now you're saying Len volunteered and allowed that, hey, that means maybe not available at all this season because of your long-term investment.
But Bruce, is there a chance that he doesn't throw a relative pitch for the Cubs this year? Or is there a chance, this is out there, that he may be working out of the bullpen if he does come back? If the guy can throw 16 pitches, you could probably use him for half an inning. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know how that helps you.
I don't know how
that helps you accomplish your goal.
But wouldn't you rather have him tipping pitches right now than
the alternative?
It's not really about him. It's about the team, you know. And if he's not there to help the team in his role as a starter, I don't see where there's any significance. If Epstein and Hoyer and the doctors and Darvish don't consider him healthy enough to be a starting pitcher, I don't see him on the mound for them the rest of the year. If he's not healthy and ready to go here in 3 weeks, you know, he has a setback, like you said. That's it for the season. They're not. There's a lot of reasons why they wouldn't start him up again. But the number one is you got 5 more years of contract control for a guy that's supposed to be helping you at the top of the rotation, and you want to protect that. Yeah, this year is important, but you know, that's a huge investment going forward.
Some great stuff there. I enjoyed that baseball conversation with Mully and Brian and Bruce. It was real, and there's a lot of issues in front of the Cubs, even though they have the best record in the National League. It's fascinating. We'll do some more football. Anthony Heron will join me after the top of the hour. That's next here on The Score.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.